And surprise. So as we all know now, my parents are kind of laying low, recovering, and receiving their healing right now as we speak. Believe in expectation for what we have already prayed for and believing that we've received it. So a couple months ago, my dad asked me, would I consider ever bringing a message? And of course, my initial response inside of me was like, I don't want to, but I know God has a sense of humor. So I told him I'd pray about it. And every time I went to God and tried to ask him if he even wanted me to, all he would give me is what he wanted me to speak, what he wanted to bring to the people. And here we are. I didn't know when he wanted to bring it, and his timing's better than mine, so I'm just going to pray that he speaks to you today. So let me just start off with prayer. Father God, you are our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding, and revelation, Lord. I ask the Holy Spirit, you speak in and through me today. It's not by my own words, but yours. Would you just relay the message that you want to speak to the hearts today? And let them apply it individually, each one of them, in their own way, Lord, because it's you, Holy Spirit, who are as an encourager, uplifter, the one who convicts us in our time of need, and our strength. So I just ask, Lord, that I step out of the way today, and you say what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So every time I approached him, I kept on asking him, you know, what do you want me to say? And he kept on giving me, what is our role, our calling as a Christian? And that's a question I believe a lot of us often, especially when we first step into the faith, well, okay, you know, I'm saved now. I've got my ticket to heaven. What now? What's my calling, God? You know, I'm looking at all these evangelists, you know, Billy Graham, Smith Wigglesworth, and seeing what they've done for God. Wow, I want to be just like that. What's my calling, God? What am I supposed to do? And we're looking for this big picture of what God wants for our life specifically. All these people we're going to influence, you know, whether it's standing in front of thousands, millions. You know, we look at that and we often think of our ministry as small. I'm not here to talk about ministry or what your function is in the body of Christ, because every one of our functions is different in the body of Christ. Our calling is the same, though. We don't have different callings. We have the same function or different functions in the body or different gifts of the Holy Spirit. But our calling, what God's called us to do or be, is the same. And we all, you know, honestly miss a lot of time, myself included, we miss our calling and who we're called to be in Christ because we're too busy looking for the bigger picture, what we think our bigger picture is supposed to be. But that's often mistaken because, I mean, we look at our leadership in church to tell us what our calling is. You know, what do you see in me? What do you see in me? But what is God telling you? Or we go on a journey and say, I'm going to go on a journey and just get out of church for a while because I need to find out between me and God, you know, what he wants me to do. And he gives it to us in his word, his love letter that he wrote to every one of us of what we're called to be. So God's greatest desire is that for our life is to fall in love with him and to display that same love to those around us. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the next scripture. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. Okay, and I'm going to get into that scripture later, but first and foremost, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and mind, and that's it. He said, the greatest commandment you can do is that, and to what? Love your neighbor as yourself, after he says that. So if we learn to fall in love with God into a romance, it's not something that happens just overnight. It's something that you do on a regular basis. Just like here on earth with a loved one, with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband and wife, you learn about them. What their heart's desires are, what pleases them, what causes them to laugh, what gives them joy, That's our greatest commandment, is to fall in love with God. That was why he created us. He had all of the angels of heaven worshiping him. He had creatures surrounding his throne, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He had all of heaven crying out to him, telling him how awesome he was, but he still created man so he could walk in the garden with us, so he could hold our hand and be in relationship with us. Because only when we fall in love with God, when we learn to truly fall in love with him, do we learn how to love our neighbor. Once we understand how he loves us, then we can get that same love to the people. Just like when you're a newlywed or engaged or in love with somebody here on earth, you brag about them. You tell everybody about this new romance or this new loving relationship they're in with this person. You're excited to tell everybody about it. So in return, do you brag about God the same way? Are you telling people about this God that you're just madly in love with? Is he that important in your life? The people are just like, wow. Because you can tell when somebody here is in love with somebody. Can they tell that you're in love with God? You enter into a marriage, a covenant with God. Fall into a romance with the one who saved you. So it says in Matthew 7:20, it says they will know us by our fruit, right? They will know us by our love for one another, John 13:35. By our love for one another. So how are you loving each other? If non-Christians, people who don't know our Savior, see us out and about, see us how we interact with one another, and they don't see love, what do they want? What are we offering them? They're going to know us by our love, not by how much you know, not how much knowledge you attain in this world. God doesn't care about that. He cares about the wisdom that he gives you. Only he can give the spirit of wisdom access to your heart if you ask for it. It's not about your years attained on this earth. It's not about what you can study, but it's about his love inside of you, because love overcomes all. Love is greatest among all of them. Faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. And he just keeps portraying that from what I've read, that the greatest thing we can do is love him and love each other, because that's the only thing that can pierce the hearts of the people that don't know him, is his love. So, what is love? 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So what that scripture goes on to keep saying is that, you know, we have the gift of prophecy. We have all these different gifts. But when we get to heaven and all this life is over, there's only one thing that's going to remain. Love. So how do we love? Where do we love? We can love each other. I find loving each other is a little easier sometimes than those who are difficult with you, right? So God will put people in your life to help teach you how to love. Okay? We worship God for these things. We worship for that love, grace, and mercy. God will often bring people into your life that are not compatible with you only, but are weak, tremendously weak, in the areas that you would most likely want them to be strong. Why does he do that? Let's remember our text, Romans 8:28-29, about all things working together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Because everything is to conform us to the image of Christ. All things is to conform us to the image of Christ. So what are some things, what are some characteristics, what are some things you think of when you think about Jesus? When you think about Jesus, what he looks like, what, who is he? I think of three things: unconditional love, grace, and mercy. Those three things stand out for me when I think about Jesus. How would you ever learn unconditional love if you were married to or around someone who always met all the conditions? Your coworkers, the people in the store that are short with you, who speak evil against you. God, teach me unconditional love. But everybody has to meet the conditions. How would you ever learn mercy, patience, long-suffering, heartfelt compassion if you were always around someone or married to someone who never failed you, who was never difficult with you, who never sinned against you, who is never slow to acknowledge their sin or ask for forgiveness? How would you ever learn grace to pour out your favor on someone who did not deserve it if you're always around someone or married to someone who is deserving of all good things? The purpose of this is that we learn the same way that Jesus unconditionally loved us and gave us grace and mercy when we were not deserving of it. We learn to pour ourselves lavishly out upon one another, upon the people that hate us, because they will know us by our fruit. What's the first fruit it mentions? Love. You are in a relationship with people who need mercy so that you learn to give it. We worship God for all these things, but we get frustrated when people don't meet the conditions. Now, what you do for God is not based on a scale. You know, it's not like he has a scale in heaven and goes, well, he's preaching to thousands, or she's just serving in her community. Are you being faithful to what God has given you in your lap? Okay, don't think that your impact for the kingdom is less because you're less recognized by man. Okay? It's not by about your talents or what you can bring to draw crowds, because talents will always draw a crowd in numbers, but only the anointing of God can transform the heart of a person. Amen. Mark 10:43. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. So I love it. In another version, it says, if you want to be the greatest among these, live a life called to serve others. And that always jumps to my mind of, okay, I'm falling in love with God, and I'm loving his people, and how do you show love to people? I think one of the greatest things you can do is serve them. Give up your own time. And serving the people will always be an inconvenience. It's never going to be convenient for you. But that's where that sacrifice comes in. Live a life called to serve others. I think of Stephen. One of the greatest people I read about in the Bible, and it's about this much in the Bible, is Stephen. And I remember that passage in Acts where the disciples, Peter, I think it was John, or Peter and another disciple came up and said, we don't have time to wait on tables. We have to preach the word of God. But oh, these men have to be anointed, you know. But I don't know how they portrayed that. But when I read it, it says, well, we don't have time to wait on tables. They literally said that. We have to preach the word. But let's find some men that are anointed to do it. So among those men were Stephen. Stephen went and waited on tables, but also said he performed miracles among the people. And his face shone as that of an angel. And he also got to see the heavens open up and see Jesus sitting at the right hand. But he was just waiting on tables. None of the other disciples got to see that. He wasn't even a disciple. But he got to see heaven open up. His face shone like that of an angel. And he was just the one waiting on tables, but he was also performing miracles among the people. I think he had something special with God. God loved everybody. But we also have two different kind of loves that God speaks of, agape love and phileo love. Agape, God loves everybody. Phileo is a friendship kind of love. So I read a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. I wanted to get closer to God. I said, God, I want to be so close to you, I hear your voice, that I feel your presence, not just on a Sunday morning or on a worship service, but I want to feel you so close to me every day of the week, every hour, every minute. And what he kept bringing back to me was, it's not about you. It's not about what you experience, but what are the people around you experiencing? I know you want to feel my presence, but are you bringing the presence to the people? Whether you ever get to feel me or feel my presence again, it's great to have that tangible presence of God where you can feel that overwhelming peace in the room or his presence come in. But I'm called to live by faith. We're called to live by faith. He's like, well, what about the people around you? Are they experiencing my presence? Do you want to bring the presence to them more than you want it yourself, because it's not about you? So I said, okay, that's a tough word. But I started practicing his presence. I started thinking about him. I set alarms on my phone every minute of the day to where it pop up my phone and vibrate to remind me to think about God. I deal with patients every single day, but it doesn't matter. You can still acknowledge God in your spirit while I'm stretching a patient out on the table or working on them. I started just a simple thought of, how you doing, Daddy? What do you want to do with this person here? This is your child. It's not about me. What do you want to do in the grocery store? At the supermarket, the gas station? Who's broken that I can be used by you, if you so will, to bring your love to them? But I have to stay in that everyday communication with him so I know my Father's heart. So I learn to love God with every bit of my strength, my heart, my mind. So I read in this book, The Practice of the Presence of God. He said, we ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God. For he regards not the greatness of the act, but the love with which it is performed. Bringing a plate of cookies to your next door neighbor. Small act to us. But what if that same person that received that miraculous salvation at the next crusade only happened because that plate of cookies tenderized the heart of that person from that random act of kindness, and that they thought for a second there might be a God because of that. And they're the only reason that they showed up to that crusade and got saved to begin with, because of that random act of kindness. That was such a small act. Or maybe that soften the heart of the person so later on that week when Miss Susie, who brought cookies over to the next door neighbor, that earned the right in her life to be heard. He just wants willing vessels, guys, people to just walk in this romance with him and then to just go tell and show people how in love we are with him. So I know that he calls us to love him first and love people. But people are like, well, what about the Great Commission? You know, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. Proclaim the gospel. Go and proclaim the gospel, absolutely. And we should. But how we proclaim the gospel should always be in wisdom and discernment. Yeah. Interesting enough, when I looked up the word proclaim, even in its Hebrew origin and Greek origin, it doesn't mean to just speak forth. It does. But it also means, in a synonym, advertise. It means to advertise. Not just speak, but to advertise. I thought that was interesting. So we're to proclaim the gospel. It doesn't say when and where, though. The gospel, the word of God, to those who do not know him, even to those who do know him, is going to be offensive, convicting. It's a very convicting word. So do you think that if we were to go proclaim the gospel to somebody that doesn't even know him, and we've never even met this person before in our lives, that they would receive that? You're a sinner. You're sinning, you're going to hell. Is that a great witness? Now, if the Holy Spirit prompts you to do that, to stand on a street corner, obey the Holy Spirit, sometimes that can pierce the person's heart, and they can get saved on the instant from that. Absolutely, I'm not saying that's not of God when you see people on the street corner. But from my experience, most of the time, that's probably going to shove people away, especially if they see your lifestyle depict otherwise. Now, just because you're not in a pulpit, just because you're not doing a crusade, doesn't mean you're not fulfilling the calling that God has placed in your life, which is to be faithful with what he's given the people in your life right now. Billy Graham said before he passed away, "There's only a few things that I wish I would have done different. I wish I would have spent more time with my family and more time with God one-on-one in his word and how to apply it to my life versus prepare it for a sermon." That came from Billy Graham, which did amazing things for God. And I know his treasures in heaven is stored up, I'm sure. But it was more time at home and more time applying it to his everyday life. So are people seeing God at work? Are they seeing somebody that is patient, that is kind, that holds no record of wrongs, that is not boastful? Because if they're not, that time that you do have that you feel like you should share God with them, are they going to want what you have? Do they see a difference about you? It hit home for me. Do they see patience and kindness? Or do they see somebody coming in stressed out about the world? The world's just a screwed up place today. Do they see somebody always bickering about that? The world's so screwed up, the politics, don't get me started on politics. The news said this and that and blah, 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 blah. All the things that's going wrong with this world and nation. Or do they see somebody in total peace walking to the environment, knowing that God's in control of all things? Nothing that you complain about is going to change a single thing. That when they hear you speak with solutions and how to change the problem in your own environment. Somebody that's always kind, that walks out of the room when gossip starts to happen. That's always encouraging and uplifting. This world we live in today, people are being criticized every day. The world around them is going to point out the flaws inside of them, what they're doing wrong on a regular basis. But then they should be seeing that Christian walk into the work environment, pointing out what they're doing right, encouraging and uplifting them. They're being torn down enough. Do you look for the good in them? This is why love is so powerful. If you walk in love, and when the Holy Spirit says now, speak into that person's life at work, or at the grocery store, or wherever, they've been tenderized for, it could be weeks, months, a year after building a relationship with these people. But they've seen you walk in love, so you have a right to speak into their life. So when you speak, they receive it. That's why it says be slow to speak and quick to listen. It says love me, love people, live a life called to serve others, and proclaim who I am, advertise who I am. He's so good about that if we're just willing to be patient and surrender. It's a scary thing to surrender completely to God because we want to be so in control of our own lives. Because we know if we fall completely in love, he'll know every part of us, even though he already does. But we want to keep control of certain parts of our lives. Only love can overcome all things. Only perfect love casts out all fear. Only love is even greater than faith and hope. Only love covers a multitude of sins. Love never fails. How we approach non-believers, guys, versus believers should be totally different. It is different. How I approach a brother in Christ that says, I know and serve God, is totally different. They don't know who this Jesus is. They only know what they've heard of. And as you can see today, what people have heard about Jesus, what they think of Jesus, is not good. They've seen a lot of hypocrisy. So they're not going to care about your own knowledge and what you know about God or how much scripture you can throw at them. They want to see it. They want to feel it. They want to feel the difference. Go and proclaim the gospel. If you ever have to, speak. Do you have something that people want? This is a hurting and desperate world today. So do you have something that people want? Are you a friend of God? Last question I'm really going to ask you today. Do they see somebody that's a true friend of God? God loves everybody, but only some men were his friend, or women. Are you a friend of God? Only you're in control of that. There are 12 disciples, but only one laid on his chest. I don't know why someone didn't lay on the other side, but are you a friend of God? I want to be a friend of God. I want to be special to him. I want to be so close to him that every one of his desires becomes my desires. That's why he says, fall in love with me, because everything else is going to be fulfilled. You'll live a life called to serve others because his desire is to be in relationship with us, to put us first with each other. It's not about you, it's about putting other people first. So once you're walking and holding hands with God and you're so crazy about him, then he says, okay, now go tell that one how much you're in love with me. Show him. I think that's the greatest gift we could give him, especially for his birthday. Is to fall more in love with him. If we're not displaying that love, guys, if we're not showing that at home and at work, you can go on a mission trip 3 times a year. But the other hundreds of days during the year, you're not hitting it at home and at work, you missed it. Don't go searching for your calling. Your calling is with the people right in front of you. That's our calling. What you do in the church service, what you do for your church, that's awesome. It's just another tool God uses. God uses your talents, wonderful, to do his will. But for me personally, I have seen more people transformed by the power of God by me just shutting up and listening and loving them unconditionally. And then the Holy Spirit so faithfully every time speaks through me when he decides. Pursue God. Pursue him with every single bit that you have, every strength you have. Pursue God above all else. Fall in love with him. then you'll fulfill the calling that God has placed on your life.